Sean Reyes gone? Yay! How about Dan McKay for AG? This is Jim DeBacchus on the left.
My horse, my kingdom for a horse, he says as we try and put together a budget. It's Representative McKay on the right.
Will John Huntsman Jr. serve in the Trump administration? There's still hope. Natalie Gochner in the political center, and this is both sides of the aisle. But first, this news. Good morning, I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle, and I am joined live on Capitol Hill in Dan McKay's office by Representative Dan McKay on the right.
Good morning,
Natalie. A grumpy Dan McKay this morning. And on the political left, Senator Jim DeBacchus.
Good morning. I'm feeling terrific. So cheery, and I'm...
Dan, why are you grouchy today? Okay.
All right, so... We have, we're now Thursday, and we have exactly, not including today, we have exactly 7 days left in the session, right? Or, you know, 7 days.
And this is when
that includes
everything
the weekend.
Has to just collide.
Everything has to come together. The budget has to make sense. Priorities have to be done. Everybody's starting to see their money fall off the side of the table and their project and all these things they've been working on for a year. And now they're looking at you saying, I'd really like to get this done. And you're saying, I'm really, really sorry. I don't like being the bad guy. And so part of it's the bad guy. And then the other part of it is, and you'll forgive me if I whack philosophical for a minute. Do you remember the old Zig Ziglar story? Newlyweds, they get married. And when they get married, the husband comes home from work and she's made a ham. And he comes in and he's like, why'd you cut the ends off this ham? She says, well, because it tastes better. And he says, well, that's weird. He's like, where'd you learn that? It's like, from my mom. It's like, next family function. He says, Mom, who taught you to chop the ends off the ham? She's like, well, it tastes better. Like, who told you that? Well, my mom did. So fortunately, she was right by there. So they went and asked her, why did you chop the ends off your ham? And her response is, well, because I had a really small roaster and as a really small oven. And as a result, I had to chop the ends off the ham. And three generations later, people are chopping the ends off a ham for no reason.
Yeah.
But it really, really felt good. And everybody thought it made it better. And sadly, so many policies fall into this where you've got this, it's been sitting on there and we've been doing it for so long and why wouldn't we continue doing it? And then you're like, because it doesn't make sense anymore. And that you show them data and you line up all these things. They say, well, I just feel like it helps. And you're like, but it don't.
So, how do you react to that, Jim?
I am nothing.
You don't? Come on. You guys are the masters
nothing,
of storytelling.
Nothing. I mean, that's just overwhelming. That was such a good story.
Well, so let's talk some specifics. I'm going to go to Washington first and talk about our former governor, John Huntsman Jr., keeps getting mentioned. First, it was Deputy Secretary of State. This week, the rumor is that he'll be the ambassador to Russia. You heard this one, Jim?
Yet.
You go be in exile. We will have you come back from Siberia.
For whatever reason, he is still in the Trump dialogue.
I'll tell you whatever the reason is. In my opinion, it is because one of the most powerful guys in Washington is the chairman of the Finance Committee. And the chairman of the Finance Committee has been alerted that if the chairman of the Finance Committee, Orrin Hatch, doesn't get John Huntsman a good job, then John Huntsman is not going to have anything to do, and he's going to run against Orrin Hatch. That is a formula for John Huntsman getting a good job.
Interesting.
It's extortion.
Interesting. Dan, wow. Any comment on that?
That's interesting. That's quite the contrived theory. I'm not going to take away from it. Just saying that takes some dots to connect, and yeah. We all know Orrin's capable of it.
What about Sean Reyes?
Yeah, as I say, still Utah keeps that. Coming up. You want to talk about, you know, you got John Huntsman Jr. and you got Reyes. You've got all these guys talking about it, but when you stop and think about it, it's really Utah that keeps coming up.
It's
and,
not
and they're
Utah,
trying
it's
to
nothing.
Find a solution.
We've got this giant thud. We've got nobody. There isn't one high-level Utahn in the whole Trump administration. Zero. That really is a shame for our state.
If Reyes were to go be the Secretary of the Federal Trade Commission, isn't that what it's being
yeah,
talked
that's
about?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Who would replace him?
Great question.
I mean, that would be a really attractive place for some politicians. Right?
I think Todd Weiler would definitely
You've got several thousand lawyers in the state that are all constitutionally qualified. So it's step
I'm
one,
saying I'm
right?
out.
Jim's
but,
out.
But Todd Weiler, Dan McKay, Senator Valentine.
Senator Valentine, McKay, Weiler. I mean, those are all.
Would you go
that,
14?
I
would love that.
I'd consider it if it's one. I looked at it last time, and I just wasn't at a place professionally where I could, you know, step away and do those things. But I'd consider it.
Jim, what about Zion Curtin? I saw you on Facebook Live the other day talking about the Zion Moat. Explain to our listeners.
So, look, you know, sometimes the ham is too big for the pot. And if ever there was a case, I had a bill last year and the year before and the year before that said, it was simple. It was four words. It was on one page. Nothing is on one page. It said, dump the Zion Curtin and legal blah, blah. So my good friend Senator Adams just gets into it and listens to all of these whining people and everybody and every interest group and everybody's there and comes out with 157 pages of unbelievable. You can't imagine how bad this thing is. I would just as soon live with the Iron Curtain as all the malarkey and mischief and stuff in this new bill. It's just horrendous. And you know how much I hate the Iron Curtain. It is a terrible, terrible bill.
What do you predict, Dan? Okay. Will happen?
You asked me a prediction. I think something will happen. I don't know if it will be with the bill in its present sense. I'll tell you this, and it's funny that you mentioned this, Jim. The legislature is really funny. You put together this comprehensive reform issue, and it has all these webs that are tied to this piece, right? And Jim, everybody wants, and then when you look at one piece of it all by itself, it looks really, really dumb. But when you look at it as kind of a package
mosaic
of the whole deal,
yeah
a mosaic. Yeah. Thank you. You look at the mosaic, and you're like, okay, maybe that's the right thing. It's not just a broken piece of tile, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the Zion's Curtain is one of those. And so Jim and his some friends have been poking the bear and saying, this should go away. And I have, in the back of my mind, while I have voted to get rid of the Zion's Curtain, it would vote again to get rid of it if it was a standalone bill, that you got to be careful what you ask for. He's asked basically for the mosaic to be reopened and redone. And so now it's possible that we get something that they enjoy less.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and in my mind, I think getting a lesser pot, like, I love that, by the way, that the Zion's Moat took all of 10 seconds for someone to come up with as far as the moat that goes around this whole deal, because that's what all the emails and the texts have been from people about the issue. It's like, say no to the Zion's Moat. And I'm like, this bill, that's why I think maybe, except for Representative Wilson is very talented, the bill may be in trouble.
Yeah. I want to stay with you for just a minute longer, Dan. Speaker Hughes did something interesting. He broke the tie voting against HB 29, which would have provided incentives for the purchase or lease of energy-efficient vehicles. That must have been a dramatic moment in the House when the Speaker breaks a tie.
Every year, it happens to usually one or two bills, right? Mm-hmm.
Does he leave the dais to place his vote, or how does it work?
No, because when he's on the dais, he's voting. Mm-hmm. Usually, when he's not voting, he's in another meeting.
I see.
And so when we do a call of the House, that's when you get to 37 votes or, you know, 36 votes or whatever. And you see there's a few white lights up on the board and you say, OK, you look at the math and you say, you know, could these guys support my bill? Maybe. So when the Speaker walks in and he's the last vote, it is tough to be the Speaker in that position because you rely on consensus of the membership to support you as a Speaker. And so to be the deciding vote for
with 75 people, there's always
culturally very difficult.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was tough for I know the Speaker to make a decision on that bill.
Jim, any comment there?
It was so narrow.
It was a great bill. It just shows once again the Republicans are blah 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 on clean air, nothing except something dramatic might happen. We can talk about it later.
I love it. I love it.
Fans blowing the pollution to Park City.
Yeah, this is good stuff for the second segment. I'm Natalie Gochner. I'm joined by Jim DeBacchus and Dan McKay. In our next segment, we'll talk about whatever Jim just foreshadowed, as well as the Trump's first joint session address to Congress.
This is Dan McKay on the right.
And Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Natalie Gochner in the political center, and this is both sides of the aisle. Guys,
Natalie, which one are we going to call them? This is going to be interesting.
I hope both of you are able to watch at least some part of President Trump's address this week to a joint session of Congress. Jim, he had a distinctly different tone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the same pig underneath all that lipstick, but it certainly was a lot more pleasant to listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, do you really think Donald Trump has really changed? I mean, the fact that he got through a whole series without saying how many electoral votes he won and how big his crowds were.
So refreshing.
The same Donald Trump is there.
So were you disappointed?
No, I thought it was a great speech. I mean, I think that's where the country needs to go.
Yeah. Dan, any reaction from your
I didn't
side?
Get to see it. This is terrible. It's on my TiVo and or my DVR, and I will
watch it after that.
I will eventually get done with the session and get a chance. I got Walking Dead that I need to binge watch, and then I've got House of Cards. So there's kind of this
got some stuff to catch up
session,
on.
I will get all this TV in.
Dan, how did you react to the big announcement in the past week that they have narrowed the homeless shelter sites down to 2 in Salt Lake City, and then they're going to ask the county to take a third?
It's a positive step.
It was, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. But we all know. I don't know if we know, but the third one is going to be difficult to find. I think the Midvale spot is a hot issue, and it's going to be difficult to try and find another location. But it is a good measured approach, and it took a lot of effort on all sides to try and get to where they needed to be on the issue, I thought.
Dan, did you like where it landed?
I liked it. Mm-hmm. I liked where it went. You know, clearly that site in Sugar House was bad on a lot of grounds, and it was good. You know, there's a lot of pushing and shoving in this, but we got to remember that the Hughes, the Speaker, and the mayors, they're going to find the right policy.
Yeah. Let's do some rapid fire, some bills up here on Capitol Hill, and get the two of you to comment on them. The tax credit for refineries to adopt Tier 3 fuel standards. This is Senate Bill 197. Jim?
Started out as a much different bill. It started out with about an $80 million tax break for companies to not have to pay sales tax. At the same time, the legislature is talking about sales tax on food, which probably we'll talk about in a minute. So Senator Adams has narrowed that $80 million down to $1.8 million. And that'll be used specifically to give to Chevron and the other refineries to get them to Tier 3. And if you don't know what Tier 3 is, Google it. It is the most important, significant thing to come along since taking the lead out of gasoline. It will have a dramatic impact along the Wasatch Front. It's not necessarily coming because the EPA, you know, the genius is there. They negotiated with the refiners that a certain percentage of all their refineries have to be at Tier 3. So I believe it's 80%. So they have been saying, you know, Utah, we may put you at Tier 3, or you may stay at least for another 10 or 12 years away from Tier 3. So if we could use $1.8 million to induce them,
huge,
it would be
worth
it. Dan,
will you support this bill?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not?
Yeah.
Honestly.
I think it's a great step forward.
Yeah. You should incentivize things you want to happen. We want Tier 3 fuel in this town.
As much as we can take, you know, stuff that's measurable.
Yeah.
Policy, we ought to
what
do
about
that.
HB 294, Earned Income Tax Credit Bill? Helps low-income people pass the Senate, come into the House?
Meh.
Really?
Yeah.
I think this is a really positive step. I mean,
okay.
I would in a heartbeat put the full sales tax on food and adopt this bill.
Yeah, see, that's a problem. I'm not going to do one without the other, right?
Okay.
Like, you know, you can't talk about, and, you know, Jim, I know everybody's going to talk about, you know, we're angry about raising the tax on food, mm-hmm. right? Again, we got to deal with the disappearing base on sales
mm-hmm,
tax.
Mm-hmm.
But all this stuff needs to be done, not piecemeal. There needs to be a reform, and everything needs to be looked at in totality so that you make sure the credits are applying to the right people, you reach the right income strata, and then you talk about the food tax. I can have that conversation in the big, but if you just do it all by itself, meh.
Yeah, yeah. Concealed weapons bill, House okayed, permit-free concealed weapons for people over age 18. Dan likes that, Jim.
Finally, we're getting Jim a gun.
Jim shaking his head.
There's a lot of dumb bills. This is one of them.
Okay. Jim, how about the Utah GOP deciding they're going to, after saying they weren't going to pursue the lawsuit over Count My Vote, now they're going to again?
This is a schizophrenic organization.
I should say.
I mean,
I don't know how they survive. You at one time had the chairman of the party suing the leaders of the legislature and the governor, and their money is dried up. The thing that saves them that the Democrats don't have is eventually Orrin or Mike Lee that have tens of millions of dollars just write out $1 million or $2 million check and save them. Otherwise, they would be off in the trash bin of history.
Dan, were you disappointed to see them take up the lawsuit once again? It looks like they're getting pro bono legal help.
Let's just let this answer be answered. I disappointed. Okay, no, I don't think I'm disappointed. Surprised, not that either. So, you know, I was actually more surprised when they chose to abandon the lawsuit than I was that they chose to take it back up.
Yeah, but so, schizophrenic they are.
No, I think every organization that's run by, you know, volunteers, it always depends on who's there
volatility.
That day.
Yeah, interesting. Dan, you're in the majority party and in a fairly senior role. How's this budget going to be put to bed? Just for listeners, the way I understand it works is you go into the final weekend.
You can't see the look on my face.
Yeah.
The Park Lane people are like, well, this will be an interesting answer.
Well, you can't go. You go into the final weekend pretty much knowing what your budget is because they have to print the bill of bills and get everything balanced and make sure they do it right. So, you know, we're in the spot where they have to figure this out. What are we going to see?
Well, and of course, it's nice in my position, right? Because I'm the education mm-hmm. fund, or at least I represent that committee. So mine is the big rock that has to go into the jar. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is kind of the second rock or the third rock mm-hmm. or, you know.
Pebbles.
The pebbles in the budget, right? And so trying to fit the big rock, of course, the size of that rock affects everyone else's rock. And so everybody's kind of chipping away at it. It is a fun to be on this side of it. It is also, there's a certain amount of stress that kind of goes along mm-hmm, with it, mm-hmm. Trying to make sure it gets
all done. Will the legislature do enough to stand in the way of the Our Schools Now proposal for a
what's that
initiative for our schools? $750 million tax increase by raising the income tax.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I'd forgotten about it for a minute.
Yeah, but yeah. I think what you're saying is that we're not going to see a tax increase this year.
No.
Yeah. Jim, reactions on the budget, what you're saying?
I reserve the right to change that at any moment.
Okay.
Look, the reason we have this sales tax on food is because this group of prominent moderate Republicans has threatened the veracity of the legislative leadership and said, oh, yeah, we're going around you. And this is just a slap down by the legislature to say, oh, yeah, you think you got power? That group, that Chamber of Commerce, moderate, reasonable Republicans needs to mature. They got to understand that by being nice and pleasant and supporting everybody and giving everybody $500 gets them nowhere. It hasn't for a generation and it won't. They want influence up here. They want power. They need to target 5 or 6 races and they need to massively fund a few people and they need to get some victories for education. And then when they come up, people will not be threatening them. They'll be saying, what do you want next? Somehow these Republicans, these community leaders, these civic leaders, these chamber people don't quite have politics 101 down.
Yeah. Well, okay. How about HB 204 requiring state to fund presidential primaries? Jim, you voted either for or against this because it passed the Senate.
It's terrific.
You like it. Tell us why.
Parties have no money anymore. Parties are a mess. To expect them to pay for these things ensures that it's not going to be done very effectively or efficiently. The days of powerful parties have passed. They're just not important.
Dan, do you support this bill?
Meh. I'm worried about so many big rocks that some of the little rocks are not
What
really
what big important. Rocks should we be talking about? Illuminate that for our listeners.
Well, should versus can is always the debate, right? Uh-huh. I think we'll have more to talk about next week.
Going to be an interesting weekend.
I got plenty to talk about. You haven't talked about Senate Resolution Number 1, Howard Stevenson's bill. It would have taken the Senate lounge and put trophy game up there. You know, the heads of the big trophy game.
Look, you're
what are you talking about? What's more important than that?
That's not a big rock.
Okay, what are you talking about? What's bigger than that?
What is the reasoning for that?
Well, the reasoning is because he likes big game mounted, and they were to be put around the Senate lounge. So Evan Vickers, Senator Vickers from Cedar City's wife, heard about it, said, Evan, you're a great hunter. And we have a rule in our house, and it ought to be the same rule everywhere. No deadheads in the house. You take it up to your mountain house and put it up. So with that message, the Senate Republican caucus killed it. It's dead. There will be no deadheads in the Senate lounge. SR1
is dead. So Jim
is
now in favor of building a retreat up in the mountains for the senators to go to and enjoy their
So we got a place, yes.
So they have a place for their deadheads.
I think there's important things in the Senate, too.
Yeah, there are. This is here's the thing. And this is why, you know, one of the things that I think that will be an important issue is transportation funding and dealing with some of our transportation issues. And so you'll see some bonding pressure potentially.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the tax issues that we're actually going to be caucusing on today. So there's a lot to talk about, and whether or not actually we get, the problem is a lot of these fundamental tax reform issues are coming up late in the session.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you do something late,
where you can make a mistake, or
there's a mistake, or there's just a potential that it's not thought out.
It's a fad, kind of. You know, this is going around, and a few legislators are thinking, and then boom, it's.
But because you know things, people don't. It's hard to understand this, but when the deadline is 6 weeks away, you throw a rock in the pebble and you know in the pond, and it just joins the other rocks.
Yeah.
But you go to throw, you know, you throw that pebble into a very shallow pool, which is the end of the session, and it's a week away. The splash is much bigger. And so, you know, you come up with some radical idea or some new thing, and it can change policy quickly.
Yeah. I've written a column that will be in the paper this week that deals with sales tax on food.
Soccer?
Okay.
No, sales tax on food. But I basically talked about the unintended consequences of the sales tax on food, all of the administrative burden it's put in our tax code. Just give you an example. You know, if you go buy crushed ice versus block ice at a grocery store, they're taxed differently.
Oh, interesting, because the
crushed
block
ice is
prepared.
Yeah, crushed ice is not prepared and sorry, is
prepared.
Yeah, and the block isn't, and you get a different tax rate. When you go to a grocery store, it is so complicated what's taxed and what is not.
Right.
And if they're all just the same rate, you would eliminate all that.
Maybe we could loan that formula to eBay. I mean, if our little grocery stores can figure it out, you would think those companies that say we can never do a tax because it's too hard.
Jim, the biggest unintended consequence is you give a tax cut to every Utahn when your policy goal is to help low-income families. And you can, through the earned income tax credit or property tax circuit breakers, you can help those families in a much more targeted way.
But, I mean, say what you want. You cannot say this helps the poor because clearly the philosophy is we're going to raise the sales tax on food and we're going to lower the full sales tax on everybody and it'll be revenue neutral. Well,
that doesn't help the poor. You have to tag it to an earned income tax credit and expanded circuit breakers for low income.
I agree. So the other thing I would say, though, Jim, is having grown up in the poor side of under the poverty level as a kid, I don't remember eating a lot of unprepared food.
Mm-hmm.
We ate, you know, my mom was really busy trying to make ends meet with the job and, you know, mm-hmm. kids and all this other stuff. And
we ate prepared food.
We ate a lot of prepared
food.
A lot of fast food.
Anyways,
a lot of that
saying.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I think a lot of our poorer families in Utah are already paying the tax, so the unprepared food may actually go to those who have time to prepare, which is another part of the tax argument. But without the circuit breakers and the earned income tax credit, I think there's going to be a hard time moving that uphill.
Interesting. Guys, we have to go to gripes. I don't know if we should start with Dan because he's in a grouchy mood or what. Or
look, I'm going to change the direction of this a little bit because instead of a gripe, Friday night, 6 o'clock at the Capitol. I'm having a town hall meeting. I want to invite everybody to come.
Nice.
Please come. Saturday, I'm having another town hall meeting.
Can I come and yell at you?
Please come, especially Saturday.
Just doesn't represent me. That'd be awesome.
I want that. How much fun would that be? Saturday at 5 o'clock, only Republicans. That's all I want is only Republicans come, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to talk, and we're going to hammer down, and we're going to have the kind of discussion the country needs. Friday night, 6 o'clock, everybody. Saturday night, 6 o'clock at the Capitol. 5 o'clock Saturday, Republicans only. Please come.
I can't wait to see how many people come to that.
Yeah.
We'll Facebook it live, but please come.
Dan, your gripe.
I'm just gonna say something happy.
Okay,
right?
Let's do it.
It is such a pleasure to serve the state of Utah. Despite all the gripes or the issues, all the things that we're trying to deal with, it is such a pleasure to be in this office. Such a pleasure to do what we do.
Wow, I had a gripe written down on my piece of paper here, but after you guys, I think the only thing I can say is this. I am so proud of people that are willing to put their names on the ballot and go through the crucible of election to represent us here on Capitol Hill. That's a hard thing to do, and thank you to both of you on behalf of our listeners. You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. I've been joined by Senator Jim DeBacchus and Representative Dan McKay. The program is produced by Ross Chambliss. We hope you've enjoyed the show.